Welcome to the Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this June the 16th on the West Coast, now June the 17th on the East Coast, and in the Central Time Zone. We'd also like to welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network, and hope you find tonight's show both informative and inspirational. A lot of stuff going on around the world. There's a dichotomy occurring between some of the numerous shows that we've done here over the past couple of months on Evident Footprints, with scientist inventor Jim Murray, webmaster and editor and journalist, metaphysician Ken Adachi, as well as essayist and metaphysician Zora Nova Star Livingstone. We have been telling you what the preponderance of evidence is pointing out as to what occurred in Japan. There are a couple of people who have jumped on board with us, though we're not hearing much recognition for our work. The point is getting the message out there, but there are people coming out parroting what we have said, coming to the conclusions without crediting us the information, despite the fact that, as I already mentioned, we came out with this information back in March. In fact, March 11th on this show, the first thing I said was this was a false flag event. Now, the world has been in a state of panic and fear over the fact that there may be radiation being detected, especially over the United States, and that happened to coincide with excessive and unusually heavy chemtrail spraying along the west coast of the United States. Wouldn't it be interesting that they would find radiation levels rather high and that the media, who can't tell you who's going to become president of the United States legally or lawfully, constitutionally, or they can't tell you even what the weather's going to be on any given day with any amount of accuracy, They were predicting the arrival times of the tsunami, and they were beating the drum of fear to get people in this state of worry over radiation. Now, we've had depleted uranium from the many bombs and bullets and arms that have been exploded over Iraq and Afghanistan, and I presume now over Libya, probably Syria, Yemen, to name a few places. These wars that have just come out of nowhere, and these revolutions, these social revolutions, are engineered by the CIA. Some days ago, I played a clip where Hillary Clinton, being interviewed by Fox News' Greta Van Susteren, admitted that the CIA created Al-Qaeda. And this was back in the early days of Osama bin Laden. I wrote about this in the Idaho Observer back in January of 2007. In the near future, I'm going to play a rather long clip. It's almost an hour long, from a Frontline expose called The Warning. And I'm going to tell you and let Frontline present to you all the information that I've been putting out and some other journalists over the past 5 years regarding the trillions of dollars in the derivatives market. And it exposes all the fraud. It exposes the fact that there was one particular whistleblower who was the head of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, the CFTC, in New York, and she had been handpicked at first to be the United States Attorney General, was turned down for another woman who happened to be of certain sexual persuasion that I guess they preferred having in office. And, of course, that led to the Waco massacre and many other very, very strange happenings in the legal world. You remember a young Cuban boy that was deported from the United States. That this all played on the emotions of people, whether they were here in the country legally or not, lawfully or not. This became major headline news for months and months and months. And I think the young boy's name was Elio Gonzalez, if I remember correctly. They make a young child a political tool to influence and sway people's thinkings and take away our rights. Now, all this is going on. Now they're starting another potential, or they're preparing us probably for a false flag event out of Nebraska. Another nuclear plant there, power plant, is under some great risk of possibly exploding or having a nuclear meltdown because of raging river waters that are filling up all the dams. So we may not talk about these events other than the fear that it creates, and that it's all based on illusion. And before we bring tonight's guest, in spite of all of this, I do want to say that today is a lovely day.
Sunlight hurts my eyes. Something without want or love bears heavy on my mind. Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be impossible to face. When someone else instead of war always seems to know the way. Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be affair. And when someone else instead of me always seems to know the way, then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. I just want to look at you, and I know it's gonna be
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, don't take my word for it. Take Bill Withers' word for it. It is a lovely day. And it's going to be a lovely day today, even though the day is quite young on the East Coast where I am, and certainly further north and in another time zone. Our guest is gracious enough to stay up late enough to deliver his message. Who is he? Well, he hosts a show on BBSRadio.com every other Saturday afternoon. The show is called Zero Point. His website is zeropoint.ca, and he is a metaphysician, a forensic psychologist, and he is also a very prolific author. He's authored a few books that we've talked about on past shows: Psychological Illusions, Explorations of the G.I. Gurdjieff Fourth Way Teaching. Also, he's written God, Science, and the Secret Doctrine, which is the Zero Point Metaphysics and Holographic Space of H.P. Blavatsky. And as well, he's written The Heart Doctrine, Mystical Views of the Origin and Nature of Human Consciousness. My good friend, who's been waiting very patiently in the wings, Christopher Holmes, Ph.D. Christopher, welcome to Evident Footprints.
Thank you, Don. Nice to be back.
How are things going for you? The last show we did, I believe it was on the 2nd of this month, of course, we dedicated to your significant other who passed on, Karen Hale. And I know it's been a difficult time for you. Are you holding up pretty well?
Yeah. You know, agree. It takes time to kind of deal with a loss like that. Karen and I had been involved for 12 to 15 years, and you know, she was a lot of support for me in my work, and we'd been through a lot together. And she died very unexpectedly and suddenly. So, you know, I'm still reeling from it a little bit and trying to keep going and figure out where, how to move in my life and what direction to take.
Yes. Well, I want you to know that I and many of our listeners are praying for you, and we know that eventually you'll find that path, whatever it is. I know it's difficult because you had a partner who was helping you with all your work, and she's gone physically, but she's still there in spirit, and we just
feel that she's still there, and I know that she'd want me to carry on with what we were doing, and doing whatever we can to try to deal with this crisis in the life of humankind.
Yes.
It just amazes me. It just seems to escalate. It's like we have more and more wars going on, you know, with Yemen and Libya, and just more and more wars. It just seems to escalate. It seems... it's astonishing to me as an individual. I could never have imagined the criminality of our governments and what is done in the world and the kind of massive deceits and lies it's all based on. It's incredible. It's just also senseless and useless.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing, too. I mean, I'm quite new to this all. As I mentioned last show, you know, I was very naive in my life until the summer of 2006. And Karen and I both had a rude awakening after watching the Loose Change movie. And, you know, I'd never questioned 9/11 because I'd never really thought about it or looked at the evidence. But, you know, as soon as a person looks at the manner in which the towers came down and you see the squibs as the collapse occurs, and it's so overwhelmingly obvious that it was a controlled demolition and the whole event was a fraud.
Yes.
And that set off for us what was really a wild time, like then researching as much as we could through the internet and watching all, there's so many good documentary movies now. It's like all the evidences are there. And I like the call that at one point Truot was saying, why aren't they in jail?
Oh, yeah.
And, I like that weird call. Like, why aren't these people in jail? It's so terrible. It's so obvious. And there are now so many millions of us who are realizing it, have realized it.
Mm-hmm. I referenced in my introduction very briefly a production that Frontline did out of WGBH TV in Boston, Massachusetts. And this came out in 2009. I hadn't seen it, but what I found was very interesting was the fact that they had basically declared, with the consent of Congress, and this was a secret consent, that they were going to allow the derivatives markets to operate outside the law. In other words, they were going to control Wall Street and the whole U.S. economy with this. Now, you hear things like, well, we have a $15 or $14 trillion deficit. A few months ago, they were saying $1.5 trillion deficit, and you had these bailouts, and you had all this corruption that I've been reporting on this show since I came on the air, and simultaneously with my works in the Idaho Observer. There wasn't an article I wrote with a few exceptions where I didn't mention the corruption going on. And they specifically quote $595 trillion invested in it. Now, that's the closest figure to my more recent figures that I've brought out. And I would suspect that it's in the quadrillions. So they're lying to us about everything, as we always say on the show. And there's no getting around it. They're lying about everything. Some of us have recently come under personal attacks to silence us, to try to discredit us, because so much truth is coming out on this show. And you are another example of an individual who was minding his own business, quite qualified to say the things you're saying because of your vocation, your training, and your spiritual discernment, your ability to think logically, and your ability to spot the lies. Am I wrong about that? As far as you're concerned?
Well, I mean, I hadn't spotted them through my life, you know, until that point. I mean, I look back. I mean, I can understand why, because I was in a family way, and I worked in a prison and worked at my writing otherwise, so I wasn't very informed. But, I mean, I had bought the lie. I'd taken the blue pill through most of my life, and then it's pretty shocking when a person begins to grasp what's really going on. It always reminds me of J. Edgar Hoover's comment. He says that an individual is faced with a conspiracy so monstrous he cannot believe it exists. And it's totally true. I know how when Karen and I woke up, I mean, it really shook our world. It was like everything we believed in had been a lie, like our democracy and the media as objectively reporting events, and, you know, our educational system, so much has been kept from us, and we've been intentionally dummied down, and the whole of history's been reinterpreted to hide the crimes of this international global crime syndicate.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of shakes your value and everything you believed in justice. Justice, I mean, it's just intolerable. I'm sorry, I forgot your question.
Well, I was just sort of comparing, my thoughts on these issues to your own realization that these things are going on. The evidence is coming out as quickly as the corruption is itself accelerating. It's just accelerating because they're kind of desperate right now. And I see a tipping point. I see us at the precipice of a great change. And it's not the change that was promised in the 2008 election campaign. not at all. Enough people are waking up to see the lies for what they are. I can go to YouTube and watch a video and read the comments, and the people are awakening, where you'll have 1 out of 10 people now sticking up for the usurper in Washington, D.C., and trying to derail all the information in the video and derail or debunk all the comments that are made by people who see clearly what's going on. There's no doubt about it. I've very pragmatically brought the hypothesis forward that if they're so good at what they do, why are things so messed up? You know, that's a question no one seems willing to answer. And we give the reasons on this show every night. Well, at least Monday through Friday, let's put it that way. Or Tuesday.
Well, I mean, in a way, they have been good at what they've done because they have gone undetected by the masses for decades. And if people really grasp the extent of all their crimes against us, like, you know, the poisoning through chemtrails, which has been going on for 15 years, and now in the community, Alzheimer's just so widely spread, and I see the chemtrails as a major cause of Alzheimer's, in addition to other breathing difficulties and Morgellons, and then to realize that all these inoculation programs, you know, they've been intentionally putting these poisons, mercury and formaldehyde, and you know, they've intentionally been poisoning people, as I see it now, through the inoculation programs. And the inoculations are even mentioned in the protocols of the Elders of Zion as a way of poisoning the masses.
Mm-hmm.
But just to realize the extent of to which our governments are controlled by these criminal cabals.
Yes.
And it's overwhelming because, like, it's like, where are the police? And the police are obviously controlled by the same network of psychopaths. You know, mm-hmm. The police are complicit in this. That's what's so discouraging. And of course, that doesn't mean, you know, all the people in the CIA or the RCMP. I mean, lower-level officers and intelligence people, I mean, they're probably, you know, dedicated and meant well, but at the higher levels of these agencies, they've become completely corrupted. I mean, we can look back now and see the CIA's been involved in the mass murder of tens of millions of people over the last 50 years, spawning revolutions and dictators around the world, and all the time it's based on lies. You know, we're led to believe there are these tyrant dictators, and we're spreading democracy and, you know, standing up for people's rights. And the whole time, the whole thing is only been Hollywood. It's been a complete lie. Mm-hmm. You know, these wars have been, they're not for the American people. They're not to spread any high ideals. Instead, they're, you know, American forces and men and women have been used to serve the purposes of these international criminal cabals. And that's been the last 50 years of history.
Yes.
So it really is quite terrible. And then you realize that these intelligence agencies and the police are involved in bringing the drugs in. At the same time, they have this big war on drugs. I mean, they play both ends of it.
Yes.
It's just astonishing. I could never have believed the extent of the corruption and depravity. So it's pretty shocking when a person wakes up. I know Karen and I were really kind of traumatized by it. And I had wondered, at one point when this all unfolded to us, I had a period where I had these, what I thought were revelations, and I had mentioned last time about maybe sharing a little bit of the writing I'd done at that time about what...
Yes, I'd like you to do that. I did want to ask you a question, though. In terms of the scope of your work and the boundaries that you have to work within, and I'm speaking about counseling prisoners, counseling people who maybe were induced to commit a criminal act, and they're paying the price for it, and comparing that to these world leaders, how does your work apply to these individuals who are running this show, which is nothing but a gigantic illusion? How do you see something in your work that's applicable to helping them?
Well, it's amazing. In a way, they're a different breed apart from the men that I worked with in the prison system.
No doubt.
In terms of the people I worked with, like when I learned someone's history, I could always understand why they were led to the crimes that they committed. In terms of coming from backgrounds of drug and alcohol abuse, family violence, poverty, and it was understandable. But in a way, the world elites, they have a different type of psychopathy. They are psychopaths in the sense of lacking compassion or empathy for other people. Mm-hmm. So I would see that as a prime aspect of their psychology is psychopathy. But in a way, these guys in prisons, they wouldn't last in prisons. The prisoners in jail have too much integrity to put up with these characters. In a way, the only thing that I've found that's really helpful to try to understand the psychopathy of the world elites is Gurdjieff's book on Beelzebub's tales. Mm-hmm. And he has that special term for what he calls husnamuses. And yes, those he defines as individuals who lack the divine impulse of conscience. It's like these people lack any conscience. Imagine spraying people from the air with poisons. Mm-hmm. What would you have to be paid to walk down the street and spray poisons on children, for instance? Most people wouldn't do it, that I know, for any price, really. I wouldn't. And yet these people do these such perverse things, spreading illnesses like this, you know, intentionally over the last 50 years, destroying the United States of America. Like intentionally undermining your manufacturing sector of your economy, destroying the middle class, indebting the nation through wars, you know, sacrificing, you know, tens of thousands of American servicemen for these criminal wars, always based on lies.
Yes.
Nothing I had studied as a psychologist or my experience in prisons really prepared me to face this monster. Like it's something more alien.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sorry?
Yes, absolutely. I agree. I was just going to make a quick comment that they do this through fraud as well. Fraud has destroyed the business economy in this country. It's driven businesses out of the country for what purpose? For higher profit margins and to cripple the middle class and enlarge in scope the lower class, which is living on welfare. You remember a few years ago they were saying everybody who's on welfare has to get a job. These people have to get off of welfare. Yet the numbers, not to mention all of the people who have illegally entered the country and are receiving the benefits that are due to the people who have paid into the system. You have all these contradictions. These people, you know, I see no help for them other than to get them off the planet, to tell you the truth. And that's a whole other story. But I wanted to touch upon that just to get a general feel for your thoughts about them, because you're now going to express some of the things that you were writing when you woke up, so to speak, when you were awakened, we'll say. And I want to give you that opportunity, unless you've got something else to add to this.
Well, no, I'll share some of this. But just to reiterate the point, I mean, I do see these people as significantly different. They're not like a normal criminal population whose motives I think most people can generally understand if you learned of a person's history.
Mm-hmm.
These people are a breed apart, and it's so sad. It's so sad. We have no national leaders, nobody with nobility of heart. Hey, you look about our kings and our queens and our presidents and prime ministers. There's no one of any kind of moral integrity. It's completely lacking, astonishingly so. And the level of their greed, I mean, it's unspeakable, the level of their greed. You know, they give pigs a bad name. You know, and the extent of the perversity that they've intentionally encouraged throughout our society, and they themselves, like through their homosexual agenda and the pedophilia and the sex trade and the sex slaves, everything. These people have intentionally brought about the destruction of all essence values in Western civilization. I wouldn't even call it civilization anymore. I mean, we really live in a police state society run by very severely psychiatrically disturbed elites.
Yes.
And I just pray that these people, that their karma is brought down upon themselves. And I think we are at the precipice. Because, what my revelations are, what I'm going to share a bit that came to me in 2006, is I thought that it's all going to come undone. These people are going to be held accountable for their crimes and be exposed. And I just pray that is so. Because if we could really seize these international criminal cabals, these figures and families who have committed multiple mass murders and all kinds of crimes against people, crimes against humanity, if we really could imprison them around the planet for their crimes against humanity, what you could do is pay off all national debts of all countries on earth, because it's all owed to these people for all the crimes they've committed. So really what we could do is seize the assets of these criminals, pay off the national debts. You could really have a new age if we could ever restore justice within our countries and bring these people to trial for their crimes.
Yes, I agree. Now, the one term you did not use to describe them is evil. And ultimately, in my opinion, it's spiritual warfare that's involved here. Okay, the good against the bad and the ugly. How's that?
I would go with evil. I think there's something really wicked and evil in these people. There's something wicked in their hearts. There's something deficit in them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so I do see it. I see it as a spiritual warfare. And we learn that these elites are actually into the black arts, the black magic and Luciferianism. And, you know, I believe that they do these things of child sacrifice and horrendous kind of satanic ceremonies, and you know, that's a part of what we're facing. And I do believe in a higher dimensional powers like demons and other beings that can possess people. In my views, through hyperspace, they can possess people's hearts, and in a way, people. You know, they sell their souls, and in a way, these people become soulless. So I do see it as a spiritual war.
I think they would have us, Christopher, believe that they're from a higher dimension, this evil, but I see it as a lower dimension, to tell you the truth. I think the higher you go, the more consciousness there is. And I think they're trapped in a void. And in their language, in their terminology, and in their symbology, and their methodologies, they like to try to impress upon us that they are better than us, or that they are more gifted than us. No, I don't see it as that. They do all the things that a normal person would not even think of doing. And that's where the people have been hoodwinked from the beginning. Whether you're talking about religion or you're talking about education, becoming a member of the workforce, the way the government is structured, the way it's presented through the media, and the reality that it's none of those things, you see? So go ahead, please, if you would share your thoughts that you composed.
Okay, well, this was written back on August 11th, 2006, and I posted it up on my website at that time, but it was causing Karen and I such kind of anxiety, and we were going through so much that I took it down, and this material is in one of my books that is just privately printed. And I hadn't really looked at the material for years, actually, but have gotten back to it just recently because of loss of Karen and trying to reconstruct things that we went through. Because we really went through a bizarre period of time where I would say we both experienced mystical states of consciousness and this material, I'm kind of almost embarrassed to write it, to read it, because it started out all of a sudden 0 point. If you went to my website, you read 0 point, formerly the Institute for Mystical and Spiritual Science. And now I announce a website for the words Revelations and Judgments of God. So I actually felt in this exalted state that I was, this material was coming through me, in the sense it wasn't my own.
Yes.
I remember when I woke up to this. See, I come from a Christian background, and I think in my life tried to be quite a loving and fair and just person, and knew that as Christianity, and never really understood the idea of God's wrath. But you see God's wrath more in the Old Testament, like where he floods the earth at the times of Noah and he destroys Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, when we woke up and I saw this evil, I just felt the wrath of God move through me. I just, that welled up within me. So this is some, I'll read some of this and give you some sense of it.
Okay.
Reveal to those upright of heart, who still speak truth, who still feel love, who care for the holy life within, who want to save your soul, who might learn of the magic of life, becoming the hidden stars you are, as sparks of holiness within the heart spaces of a divine mother, wherein God's mysteries are revealed within. A warning to humanity in your time of need. Trials and tribulations are to come as you have brought down the wrath of God upon yourselves, and the scum sense their own demise for all their wickedness, sins, greed, deceits, and tortures, and cruelties unspeakable. They will turn to staging events and cons, even mass murders, creating imaginary enemies without, deceiving you to the enemy within. No real Muslim ever turned mass murder into a feature movie presentation of lies. No real Jew did that. I know better. I love Jews, real Muslims, real Christians, real people. The scum attempt to sustain their lives as the worlds crumble about them, and they are exposed as a king with no clothes, not as a real king. as Bob Dylan wrote in The Gates of Eden, even the President of the United States must someday have to stand naked, which might work well in Cuba at his own Bay of Pigs. Poor little sheep with no shepherd, who like TV and movies and believe the deceit. Have some faith, hope, and love through these times, and remember the light at the end of the tunnel. Pierce the veils of illusions. Wake up, poor sheep. I will suggest some Oscar nominations for Hollywood to clarify for those who don't grasp the true horror of the situation of the lives of contemporary man. And here I go into, at the time, the movie World Trade Center had come out, and I hadn't even seen the movie, but I knew it was like a fraud and trying to present the official story. So anyway, I came up with 7 Oscar nominations, hot off the press, 7 Fool's Gold Oscar rewards for The Beast and its movie handiwork, World Trade Center. Number 1, Best Con. The sheep were had. The masses of the world were so traumatized, confused, and deluded, they couldn't remember the truth of 9/11. And you were able to maintain these cons through the ministry and media of lies and intelligence agencies, the inside criminals, then to sell a popular movie out of Something in Your Heart. Further to scapegoat imaginary Arabs or Muslims, all, yes, for greed and 6 other deadly sins. Number 2, best cover-up and complicity in mass murder and the activities and financing of international terrorism. But number 3, best storyline, from a queen to a puppet president and cronies, to the torturers and barbarians, misers and madmen, scum and slime, quite a sad lot, should all be in Cuba, where it is quite hot, with nice dogs to save humanity. Number 4, mass murder special effects. In demolitions and the destructive use of thermite, 3 demolitions perfectly performed by remote control from building 7 or 6, do men really have to make money 7 days a week? Is the movie open on Sundays? Number 5, best cooperative venture, involving the sick queen herself, little dark princes, the Scrooges of Wall Street, puppet presidents, prime ministers, and cronies, Silverstein and his favorite demolition country, the media who hid the truth, the little people who just do their jobs, fearing to speak the truth, all quite a pathetic lot, all now subject to Nuremberg decisions, Canadian, American, and international law. Number 6, most unusual hidden storyline, from something rotten in the state of Denmark to the control of the pseudo-intelligent network criminals, pseudo-stars Silverstein, fools Oscar Gold, the devil's alchemy, turning human blood into fool's gold. Best ending to come about. Thank you for putting before the world all the evidences of your dastardly deeds, wrapped in the Hollywood package for all humanity to see the sins of such ways, the lies and deceits of the con, and the little sheep being led to slaughter. 9/11 was an inside job, always was, is, and will forever have been for all eternity. Nothing can change the truth. Thanks, creeps, for also drafting all the necessary legislation to seize and imprison all these terrorists and scum within decent society, all their assets and the asses themselves. And now time for a visit to Cuba for a cigar, your mass murder trophies, and each other's fine company. All the poisons you devise for others, pharmaceuticals, flus, and implants, even nice pet dogs and cages, your St. Nicholas even. Remember, Nicholas Cage was the star in this movie. A quiet place where you might spend all time in the hell of your own design, in retribution for unspeakably sinful crimes against the human race. So that was my 7... Oscar nominations.
Well, you shouldn't be embarrassed about that. You're saying things that I'm sure many of our listening audience wish they could say so eloquently. The first piece that you read, your thoughts about the whole issue, were right on target.
Yeah. it's funny because I read it today. It makes as much sense as it had previously. I guess parts of it. Can I go on and continue with the reading a bit? John?
Well, this is interesting.
Hey, Mom and Dad, this is Eric from Bicycle Habitat again. Now we're here to talk about some stuff.
We sound like someone has found it necessary to bring regular AM or FM radio into the show. it wasn't my doing there. I'm sure we'll get a message from Seth over there in the studio. What's going on, Seth? Anyway.
Okay, so then I'll continue on a little bit more.
Okay, sure.
So what we see here, though, is like what I felt at the time is that these people, they've done it. They've drafted the legislation, and they've been exposed now. And this is the beginning of the end. And back in 2006, I always felt by 2012 that it would become undone. And rationally, I don't see that at the moment, even though it's not impossible.
Yes, I see. I'm inclined to agree with you. I feel this. I discern this spiritually, that it has unraveled. That everything that we're seeing right now, if you even pay attention to the mainstream media, is nothing but a dog and pony show. It's exhibitionism, and it's no different than the brazen crimes that they commit. They're controlling the media, and I have no sympathy for these people that call themselves journalists and investigators in the mainstream media. It's obvious that they're all in bed with the intelligence agencies and even those off-planet beings that I talk about so much on this show. That's who's pulling the puppet strings.
Yeah.
Okay.
And these media personnel, like, they're guilty of very serious crimes against the American people. I mean, they're accessory after the fact, the mass murders of 9/11. They're guilty of obstruction of justice. They're guilty now of, taking part in this bank fraud and other frauds perpetrated against the American people. Like, the people in the media are guilty of very serious crimes.
Well, is it any different in Russia or in England or in Italy or in Germany or France or, name a country?
Well, no, I think it's exactly the same. I can't think of one country in the world which I think doesn't have a criminal government. I mean, that's what's really happened that I never realized, and the masses of people never realized, is our governments have been completely taken over by these international bankers and corporate elites and aristocratic elites.
Yes.
And so I think the people in the media, they should be scared because, in my view, they all belong in the FEMA camp, which I'm proposing to call the David Rockefeller. And when they go, the media people go to the David Rockefeller FEMA camp, they get a David Rockefeller button thanking them for their complicity in helping to mass murder people around the world and to carry forward the New World Agenda. And they all get their David Rockefeller buttons. And I think we should put all these media people into a FEMA camp. And for the rest of their life, we can play them their own clips and lies.
Yeah, maybe we could do that in the Florida Everglades and call it Rockefeller Park.
Okay, so I'll carry on a little bit more.
Okay.
Okay, so the human race will skim a first level of 7 levels of scum off human society. All such fortunes of this pathetic lot can then be used to pay off the debts of nations, to rebuild Afghanistan, Iraq, and Lebanon, to build a new world of justice, truth, love, and beauty as God intended. The new Jerusalem will come about when humankind realizes that true Christians, Muslims, and Jews all have the same hidden teachings of the heart wherein God's mysteries can be revealed. The ministry of lies has led you to think or believe like little lost sheep who have lost their way, to believe that the conflicts in life of in the life of humanity are due to religion. You were so deceived. The life of humanity will change when true Christians, Muslims, and Jews together rid the earth of such scum as these. None will own the new Jerusalem, revealed to those upright of heart. You know, this term upright of heart, that comes from early Gnostic Christianity. Are you familiar with that, Don? I think I mentioned it previously on the show. Yeah, because it said that most people in life, their hearts are turned downward, so they're controlled by the three lower centers. And the three lower chakras are said to govern the motives of money, sex, and power. And you see the obsession of the elites for money, sex, and power. And as you were saying before, how they think they're some kind of elites, whereas really they're the degenerate level. They're the people who are controlled by their lower nature and never make it to the level of the heart. And the heart is connected to the soul life. So in a way, these are degenerate types who are soulless.
Yes. Now, they've also replaced their lack of spirituality with technology. To them, technology is superior. They commit their crimes with technology. They conduct their wars with technology, and they oppress the people now, today, with technology. And they've been doing that for a number of years. It's just that it has its shortcomings, and people are aware of that. Even those who have been controlled by those technologies, such as dealing with implants and electromagnetic radiation and the electronic harassment and targeting of these individuals. These individuals have reached an age where they have become dispensable, and they're not out there in the field, and they're waking up and they're spilling the beans about what they've been through. It's not an accident that this is happening. You see, we're supposed to know this because the truth, as you said, the truth is going to be revealed. And that's what's causing people to wake up. So I just wanted to put my 2 cents in there.
Yeah.
3 cents, well, actually.
Well, I think if this awakening movement can spread through the world, there is such potential for really being rid of these people and having a new era in modern life that we've never known before, that in a way we've struggled under the oppression of these elites for decades, and we've never known life apart from it. Like, they've been poisoning and degrading the food for decades, and the education, like, it's every aspect of our life they have degraded. And so, like, I see the potential. We're on the verge. If we can bring these people to justice, like, if the what I think is most important is that that men and women of integrity within the police, intelligence, and military communities, they need to stand up and follow their oaths of office and serve the people of America and the people of Canada. Like, really, in my view, all senior military in the United States need to be charged with treason and war crimes for the crimes they've committed. They've just mass murdered over 2 million people in the Middle East. You know, it just goes on and on. It's like there's no accountability. And these people, they sacrifice their own servicemen. They, you know, you look at Vietnam, 50,000 American servicemen died in Vietnam. I mean, 2 million Vietnamese. Yeah. And is anyone ever brought to justice for it? Never.
Yeah,
and who's behind it? It's the same cabal of the military-industrial complex and these psychopaths. You know, they've never been held accountable. And now is an age where I think internationally, see, what we have, the people of the world are facing a common enemy. Like, we see this in Greece at the moment, where I think very encouraging things are happening, because they're actually starting to bring criminal charges against the president and other members of the parliament who have colluded with the IMF to enable them to impoverish Greece so that then the IMF and the international bankers can take over the resources of Greece and take all the public wealth. And they're doing this around the world. But now in Greece, it's beginning to be exposed and come undone, as it was in Iceland. Like, all the debts of these nations are all debts are fraudulently created. Like, you look at the huge debt of the United States. That'll never, your children will live in slavery and poverty unless we can turn this around. And if we can turn this around and imprison these people for their crimes, it would completely reduce the debt of the United States. You could cut taxes by, you know, a half. You could bring about all kinds of new innovations in your society. You'd have such wealth and abundance. Like, I believe there's such wealth and abundance on the planet Earth. If it hadn't been for these criminal cabals, we could have had an idyllic kind of planet of people realizing their spiritual potential, developing their spiritual and psychical powers, and having a much longer life and health and happiness. See, they've even corrupted people's minds so much with all the Hollywood garbage. I mean, you look at modern movies, and they're all violence and titillation and cruelty and perversion. Like, we have a society that's only been fed this now for decades.
Yes, even the war movies. Now, in respect to the debt, for example, this has been conscripted into the economy and assigned to the people as if we've been drafted into the military. There's really no difference being in the military or paying for it, you see. Stealing of real estate, dividing up the American family, identity theft, the creation of false identities and the theft of expired Social Security numbers for the purpose of maintaining anonymity in the corruption. This has to be stopped. I can't emphasize that enough, Christopher. You know how much I've talked about this and even written about it. And it's there. Why do people pretend that it's not there? Are they that brainwashed? Are they that much in denial? Or are they that much in fear?
Yeah, both denial and fear. I mean, it's so overwhelming, it's so pervasive that it's hard for people to grasp it, the extent of the corruption.
Yes, well.
I don't know, it's like we need the police to actually be police, you know. See, what we want is the police to actually enforce the anti-terrorism laws. We want them not to pretend that it's Muslims and Arabs and who are the terrorists, but to actually seize the assets of the true terrorists. And now we've learned who they are. There's eight major families. You know, it's these international banking families and the aristocrats and the Rothschilds, Rockefellers. We know who these people are. It's not a guessing game anymore. I mean, it's still very complex, and there's so many players and such. But for the most part, we have to realize these are the terrorists. the people who are spraying us with chemtrails are terrorists. They are perpetrating biological warfare against the people of the United States and Canada and other countries. And, like, look, the American people pay for your huge bills for your Air Force. And what does your Air Force? Does the Air Force is fighting terrorism to protect Americans, and they allow the American people to be poisoned from the air? In fact, they even take part in it, because much of this is, I understand, some of it is run out of the Wright-Patterson Air Force base in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
The Air Force isn't protecting the American people. It's actually poisoning them. It's taking part in these. See, our own military and police and intelligence communities have been hijacked. But the bulk, I believe, of servicemen and women in these areas, I believe still, if they knew the truth, they would turn. And that's what we need them to do. We need them, you know, the senior military people need to be arrested for their crimes against humanity.
Yes.
And war crimes.
Regarding the police, and I know there are good policemen out there, and you'll hear policemen say what risks they take in stopping crime. But the big criminals are the ones that have gotten away scot-free. The illusion about police in general is that they are officers of city ordinances.
Yes.
Okay. In other words, they serve the corporation.
Yes.
They don't.
That's what they've become.
Yeah. If someone pulls into your driveway and rams your car on what is considered to be private property. It used to be that they would say, well, you have to file a report. We'll file a report, but you have to contact your insurance company. It's always handled like a business that way. But if it's on the street, which is really public property in their propaganda, but technically behind the scenes, it's corporate property. It belongs to the secret cabal that's pulling the strings, you see.
Yeah.
So they're serving... They're the guys that cut them the checks. It's done through the corporate agencies. That how do they get their money? We give it to them. You see, so you have this hypocrisy, this dichotomy that everything that they tell us it is actually 180 degrees in the opposite direction. So they're not keepers of the peace. Certainly not when they're tasing people, or now they're just flat out shooting people. Give me your cell phone. This is a case that just occurred recently. I heard a military personnel had returned from Iraq and was shot 72 times.
Oh, yeah.
By the police. 72.
Yeah.
Like six bullets aren't enough.
Yeah, they're cowards too. You see, they pick on like innocent people. They don't go up against the real criminals at all. I mean, the molesting of people at airports. I mean, all this airport security all goes back to 9/11. But on 9/11, there weren't any hijacked airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing was a fraud from the very beginning, and they have more and more security in the airports, billions and billions of dollars, and we all pay for it, and our flight is restricted more and more, all based from the very beginning on a lie.
Yes.
You know, there were Muslims with box cutters. I mean, what a joke. And then they have their own patsy who they have... They put some explosives in his shoes, so then everyone in North America and around the world has to remove their shoes at airports. And the whole thing was a fake from the very beginning. And then they have their underwear bomber, which is another one of their false flag events. They create these false flag things and then bring in more and more security to protect us. It's such a fraud.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's all quite ridiculous. What do you, in light of your work, okay? Because we didn't really discuss much about your work. Certainly, you know, you're giving us the perspective of your analysis of the difference between these so-called elites and the people they make money off of, who are prisoners in the prison system worldwide. What do you see? How do you see your work applying to them in a meaningful way that people can, you know, I encourage people to read your books, number one, because it's going to open up a person and elevate their consciousness to the point where they see these things and they realize there's no need for fear. There's no need to be afraid of these beings. If they're going around the world killing everybody, they have the capacity to kill you too, right?
Yeah.
So are you going to live in fear of that, or are you going to stand up to it? How does one acquire that courage?
Yeah, it's a process. I mean, I know I've been through periods of fear when we woke up to this and we did some fairly dramatic things to try to wake people up and do things. And, you know, at times we sank into fearfulness. But I think it has to do with the human heart. And, you know, from my book, The Heart Doctrine, the whole point is that the essential I in a human being, when we say I is connected to our hearts. So we have to learn to awaken in the heart consciousness. And if we awaken in the heart consciousness, then we have compassion and feeling for other people. And courage means having, it comes from French for la cour, meaning heart. So courage means having a new heart. So I think what we need is, see, we need people on this planet who are upright of heart to have the courage and start becoming more and more vocal and demanding of justice and standing up and spreading the truth. So I think it's a matter of the heart. And I see these elites, in a way, they sell their souls. It's like a Faustian story. They sell their souls for their greed, out of their perversions. There's such endless blackmail and intimidation of these people. So I see the most important thing is the condition of the heart. And I think many people, even among the elites, really don't like what they get into, but they're fearful once they get into it of trying to get out or opposing it. So they also, like sometimes I talk about the sheep and the goats, like Satan has a hierarchy of servants, and those are the goats. Like the sheep are the sleeping public, but the goats are their minions who are within their ranks, but who also are really enslaved by the elites.
Well, the elites themselves are enslaved then. I mean,
well, they are.
Yeah.
They are. And I think they're most subject to trauma conditioning, separation in families. I don't believe they grow up with normal, loving mother and family support. I mean, you read the stories about people like the Bushes and the Rockefellers, and I remember a story about Rockefellers where one of the young Rockefeller boys was, I think it was John D. Rockefeller, and he got the boy to kind of jump into his arms, and he kind of removed his arms at that moment. The boy fell flat in his face, and the lesson was, don't trust anybody. See, there's something really perverse within these groups, and they're brought up in, that they're spoiled beyond belief. They're taught that they're different from other people, so they don't develop emotionally. Like, emotionally, I think the elites are at the age of 5 to 6 year old spoiled children. They don't develop emotionally. They're incapable of love. They're completely self-centered and selfish.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, I mean, they're pathetic. They're not, they call themselves the elites. Really, you know, I call them the scum that rose to the tops of the waters of life. And we need to skim the scum off and bring about a renewal of our society. And I think there's levels to that, because I think on the first level of the scum is these international bankers and corporate elites and associated aristocrats and such. But then I think beyond that, there's a whole other level of it related to under-earth activities. And then there's a whole other level, I believe, related to alien influences.
Yes.
But I think we need to skim off the most obvious level of scum in our society and bring these people to justice for their crimes against humanity.
We can't
ignore it anymore, because the extent of their crimes against people, the poisoning of the population and the land and the water and the air, it's reached a point. We can't ignore it. We can't just be concerned for ourselves and hope that we'll get by. I believe this is a time where people either forge their souls or they lose it. And people who don't do anything to oppose this on Judgment Day, I think you'll pay for that. You know,
no.
I would rather stand up for truth and love in my life and die and attain my soul than live in falsehood and with hatred.
Yes.
And lose my soul.
Just following up on what you said, where's the pool guy when you need him? Okay, if we're going to skim the water, we got to have a pool guy there. When you had your awakening and you had this sense that you became a messenger at that point, that you had a realization that you should speak, you should see things the way they really are. Did you contemplate the rest of the universe in this process? Did you consider that there are other beings in other parts of the universe watching all of this? Because it is a reality, but I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. I'm asking, did you have that sense that there are others who are not going to tolerate the activities that are going on this planet?
Not too much, actually. I felt the wrath of God more moved through me.
Mm-hmm.
But no, at different points, like I had quite mystical experiences where I felt I could perceive into higher dimensions. I had some very unusual things happen to me. It was like I could raise myself into higher dimensions, and at times I felt I had the protection of angels, and in dream states I felt my wrapped in the wings of angels.
Mm-hmm.
So angels, but in terms of there being a conscious nucleus of humankind awakened, I haven't had that sense, but I hope there is. Yeah.
Well, I can assure you that there is life on at least 180 billion planets in our galaxy alone.
Yeah.
Now, contemplate that for a moment. As far as what they tell us officially, there is no other life anywhere in the universe, which is absolutely idiotic for them to say that.
Yeah.
You know, it's the lie of all lies. Okay.
Yeah.
It's as if to say, well, God got tired creating all the various galaxies and constellations and planets and suns and celestial bodies, most of which we can't see from here, most of which we can't even comprehend the size of the galaxy in terms of distance from one place to another, or how one moves from one place to another. And out of their mouths comes the most ridiculous, primitive statements. We're looking for intelligent life. And I've always said, start looking here.
It reminds me of Gurdjieff's statement, is there intelligent life on Earth?
Yes.
What's interesting, I mean, I guess I think from the very beginning, I felt we can't just hope or long for others to save us. We have to stand up ourselves. We don't have some deus ex machina, I think the term is. It would be so nice if there were these higher beings who were going to save us. I don't see evidence of that. What I think we need to do, we are the ones we need. We have to rise to this occasion.
This is the
whole thing. It's the forging of the soul. Like, what did you do when this was being done? Did you hide away? Did you spent all your time watching TV and drinking beer and going to the ball games? Is that, this is the test. This is the time that forges men's soul or deprives them of souls. Because I believe people can lose their souls and go into very unfavorable afterlife conditions.
I think many have sold their souls out already. So, it reminds me of the wailing and the gnashing of teeth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it gets to that stage for a lot of people, it's going to be too late, isn't it?
Yeah.
In other words, they're given the chance right now to take responsibility.
Yeah.
You see, and instead they choose denial. Or they choose to become paralyzed and affixed to this state of fear, which is all an illusion. That's the whole point, isn't it? These are just illusions. They're not real.
Well, they're real. I'd say they're real in ways and they're illusions in other ways. Like, I would say death is an illusion because I believe there's afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
But still, through death, there's a reality to death. Then when someone dies, that person's no longer there for you. So there's a reality to death. It's not an illusion that person's not present in the physical anymore.
Yes, so, but their true essence is the spiritual, you see. And you've already affirmed that Karen is still here, right?
Yeah.
You see?
I mean, that's in the Bhagavad Gita, and I read this verse at Karen's funeral. It says, the wise lament neither the living nor the dead. And then it explains, never was there a time when you were not, nor will there be a time in the future where you are not. And those who lament, you're grieving only for the body, and that's not the essential being. But still, in another way, there's a reality of death. I find that every day because, you know, I'm used to having the love and companionship of a person who's no longer there in my life, present in the same way. So,
mm-hmm.
I'm just saying the terms, like things can be real in one sense, but in another sense, illusion at the same time.
Yes. Well, our reality on this planet, I guess in a general sense I'm saying, is all based on illusion. Smoke and mirrors, lies, fraud.
Yeah.
And these agendas that serve nothing but the personal pockets of those carrying them out.
Yeah.
And their minions who are doing it with them. See, it's all about materialism. It's about the physical world, which is temporary.
Yeah.
You see? So it's choosing what's temporary in favor of what's eternal. That is the choice that most people have made.
Yes. Yeah, very unfortunate. And in ways, I do believe, in ways people didn't have a chance in some ways because so much we were born into the system. And we never really realized it. If we had had a proper education and influences and nutrition and all such things from early on, life could have been so different for so many people. But as it is now, I see many people losing their souls and passing into very unfavorable afterlife conditions. Whereas I'd rather myself, I'd prefer to put up store in heaven.
Mm-hmm. Well
said. But I believe there's hell worlds because I believe these people are going to be drawn into them and they'll have each other's fine company.
Well, there is the law of karma, whether they want to face it or not. And I think their existence in this third three-dimensional world is based upon running from it. You know, but they're not even runners. Per se, they're hiding from it. Okay, they may do their running on a Learjet, or in a quarter of $1 million car, or down a chute into an underground base. There are a lot of different ways that they hide, but the very nature that of these beings that they have to hide, that they have to carry out their plots in secret, shows what kind of cloth they're made from. And it's not anything to be admired or striven for, is it?
No. It's disgraceful, and they need to be exposed publicly for what they've done. One thing I've tried to do over the past years, at one point I read in Blavatsky's, she has a third volume of The Secret Doctrine, and she has some comments about what white magic is, because Blavatsky was never into practical magic and black magic like Crowley and the Illuminati are. And Blavatsky explained that black magic is all designed for your own egoic purposes. Whereas in white magic, she says, in white magic, what a person does is you, in a way, pray to the Lord to bring someone's karma down upon themselves. Mm-hmm. And I would encourage people in our listening audience, sometimes pray that the higher powers bring these people's karma down upon themselves, that they be brought to justice.
That they be held accountable.
That they be held accountable. Because
yes.
I think there's going to be worldwide 9/11 truth hearings, and I believe these people are going to be exposed, and I think it's within years, I hope we're going to have a whole new era on this planet. And we can start the healing of this planet and reversing all the ill effects of what they've done through all their inoculations and chemtrails and degradation of the food and GMO crops and so on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Christopher, I want to play one more song before we conclude tonight's show and give you a few moments to gather your closing remarks, if that's all right with you.
Yeah, that's great, Don.
All right, I think I have an appropriate song here.
My friend is feel as their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me up.
Get me in a crowd of high-class people, and then you act real rude to me. You use me up until you use me up. Talking about you, but it all depends on what you do. It ain't too bad the way you use me, cause I sure am using you to do the thing you do.
Again, the wisdom of Bill Withers from many years ago. Use me. Isn't that what's going on, Christopher?
Yeah, they certainly have been using us.
Your closing thoughts.
Well, I would like to encourage people to visit my website at zeropoint.ca. And I put up the full text of what I'd put up on my website August 11th, 2006, just as it was published at that date. So I just put it up on my website after 5 years of kind of just putting this material away. So I would encourage people to have a look at that. And I guess what I'm trying to promote most is this zero-point concept of, like, worldwide enforcement of the anti-terrorist legislation and the seizure of the wealth of the elites worldwide, and the concept of what a new era this would bring about for the human race on this planet. An age of abundance and happiness and longevity that we've never known in modern history. And I'd encourage people, be upright of heart, and the mysteries of the heart. I believe God's mysteries are revealed within the human heart. And what is a life without love? And in the Bible it says it's like nothing. So love, I believe, is one of the most important things we have to taste and realize through our life. And those of us upright of heart, we have to come together and have the courage to face this beast of modern times. And thanks so much, Don, for having me back, and I'm back again in 2 weeks.
Yes, you'll be back on the 30th of this month. I want to let the listeners know that. Also, I want to share with you, you may not be aware of this, I have discovered, let's say, indisputable proof of Atlantis's existence on the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean, the lost mythical continent of Atlantis. Some of the images, and I have to tell you, there's a tremendous amount of obfuscation going on. But not only have I found Atlantis, I've also found evidence of Lemuria as well in the Pacific Ocean. And you may want to have me on one of your shows to talk about that.
Well, that would be very interesting. Blavatsky talked of both, Atlantis and Lemuria.
Mm-hmm.
In her writing in Volume 2 of The Secret Doctrine. Well, that would be very interesting to do. We'll do that in the future, Don, soon.
Yeah, I have recollections of Lemuria, especially the spiritual aspects and the technologies that existed. And we're discovering those again today. So we are returning to consciousness, maybe not on the mass scale that you and I would like to see, but those out there that want to see more people awake, ask yourselves, what are you doing to play a role in that? Visit Christopher's website, zeropoint.ca, and certainly tune in to his radio show. Now, are you on this coming Saturday? I always have to ask you that because I don't
know. Yeah, no, it's the following Saturday.
The following Saturday, okay.
Yeah.
All right, very good. And that's heard on bbsradio.com station number 1. You don't want to miss that show. It's very, very informative. Christopher, I want to thank you so much. again, you are in our thoughts and prayers, and hang in there. You'll work your way through this.
I will. Thanks, Tom.
All right, folks, that wraps it up.
Good night.
You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com and tonight's special guest, Christopher Holmes, Ph.D. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting Evident Footprints. Over at BBS Radio, we had Seth Hendrick on the sound. I'd like to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night, please, for a very interesting discussion on anti-gravity and anti-matter propulsion with scientist, inventor, author, lecturer, and teacher Jim Murray. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.